connecting to the internet.
Internet.
Networking software.
World Wide Web for the web. Computer today.
Computer.
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 NetSurfer Pro.
Hello and welcome to NetSurfer Pro, a whirlwind ride through the World Wide Web. I am your co-host, Galen. Now, normally I would have Matt here on the show with me as the primary host, obviously. But unfortunately, Matt could not make it this week because Matt was... he said he had to take a call, and so he got into a telephone booth. So, you know, I don't know how long he's going to be in there. But... somebody did come from a different telephone booth that might have been the same telephone booth. I did look away. And that is hit album creator, mashup artist, Photon Punch. Can you please say hello to the crowd?
Yes. Hello, it's me, Photon Punch, longtime listener, first time caller. I guess it's not really caller because I just came out of a phone booth. It's kind of the opposite of calling, really. But, yeah, I feel kind of weird advertising my album on an episode about somebody else's album, but if you like mashups, you'll both like this episode of NetSurfer Pro from what I've heard, and you'll like Photon Punch's Hard Punch Light Kick at photonpunch.bandcamp.com. It's a 12-song mashup LP album for free completely. If you like some, like, funny songs, some meme-y songs, some mashups of pop music, check that out. It has some funky stuff. There's at least two Undertale jokes.
Yes, Undertale is currently relevant as well.
I gotta go take a call. Let me go back into this phone booth.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm so starstruck. You know, I got jitters from that. Okay, let's see. Is
okay.
Matt around?
Sorry that took a while. I got a call from my orthodontist saying I had really good teeth. Can you believe that?
Wow. Sounds like your orthodontist is trying to hit on you.
My orthodontist is also flying a plane overhead, it sounds like, so sorry if that comes in on the microphone. Hopefully I didn't miss anything too important.
You missed multi-platinum artist Photon Punch here to discuss their newest album of Hard Punch Light Kick. It was a really important thing, actually. I'm really sad you missed it.
Yeah, me too, because they're really cool, really awesome, really popular, really funny, and I wish I could have met them.
Yeah.
Damn.
Well, you know, we can make up for it at the very least, because this episode is going to be about a mashup artist as well. But before we do that, this isn't a new segment or anything, but we do want to talk a little bit about just sort of little news things very briefly as they relate to sort of internet things.
Yes, not quite state of the meme, but also not quite not state of the meme.
Yeah, this isn't really a Talk Surfer show, it's more like Talk Surfer segment.
Yes. So the first one is probably the biggest one of the two, which is that Deltarune Chapter 2 just released.
Yes.
Like, just released. Like, 2 days before this episode was recorded, so 3 days before it came out, it released. And that's after being announced 5 days before this episode came out. That's right. Yeah. The math correct.
If I remember correctly, it was announced as part of the, like, Undertale 6th anniversary.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, maybe just after. But, like, no, yeah, it was... The build-up to release date for Deltarune Chapter 2 was, like... was just a line...
Yeah, there was like a 6th anniversary stream of people from Fangamer, I want to say, playing Deltarune Chapter 1, and Toby Fox was calling in on a text-to-speech program, kind of present as the annoying dog avatar, made some jokes, made some references to Tails Gets Trolled, pretty good, and then, yeah, at the very end of the stream, it added like a ready for Chapter 2, at the very, very end, like Marvel post-credit style. And, after that, it was announced that Chapter 2 would be released on the, that would be the 17th of September. Yeah. And, I'm in the middle of it. I'm actually, so, Normally I stream my playthroughs of games, but I'm actually trying to do like a Let's Play style for this. Mainly because I really wanted to record myself playing it, but I wanted to do it in shorter intervals than my streams so that I could rest my voice between them.
Yeah.
Because I, you know, like I read out all the text when I play an RPG on stream, or in this case, on video.
I unfortunately have yet to play it. I was busy Friday and then Saturday, and then I was busy doing this Sunday.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that like the moment I am done with this podcast, I'm going to boot it up because, oh boy, all internet memes aside, Undertale is like my 13th favorite game of all time.
Oh, hold on, honestly, let me bring out the list.
Yeah.
It's probably like 25th for me, if I remember my math.
Honestly, I could 100% see myself making it crack top 10. Yeah, number 13, Burger King Foot Lettuce.
Sephiroth.
But just, it is such a wonderful game. Deltarune Chapter 1 being dropped out of nowhere the first time it was also just like a massive, you know, a massive buildup to release that just happened over no time. And, oh gosh, I just, Toby Fox deserves the fame. I don't know if Undertale, like, I'm not going to sit here and say that Undertale, quote unquote, deserves to have, you know, the big fandom it does. I don't know, like, I think it does. But also, there's people who don't like the fandom. But
let me
also
put it like this. I think Sans deserves to be a Mii costume.
Yes.
In Smash.
And Toby Fox deserves to have, like, made new music for the newest Pokemon game.
Yeah, and Toby Fox deserves to have played Smash Bros. At Sakurai's house. Remember that was a thing. But no, yeah, it's pretty great. The only thing I will say is there's a fairly deep cut Homestar Runner reference.
Oh shit. I'll have to ask you what that is immediately after in case I don't get it.
Yeah.
I've had different character designs spoiled for me, which I am slightly upset about.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. But yeah, no. Deltarune Chapter 1. Big piece of news.
Chapter 2.
Great game. Chapter 2, yes. Go play it if you haven't, because you know, it's really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the other big piece of news was something I was going to bring up on the Talk Surfer Show episode and swiftly forgot, which is that, Monkey Ball Banana Mania is coming out this year, I think October or November. It is a remake of Monkey Ball Deluxe, which is kind of the best Monkey Ball game because it has pretty much the levels from 1 and 2 in like a better engine than 1. But it's getting remade for the Switch, new graphics, new music, new costumes. It looks really good from the gameplay I've seen. You know, looks pretty faithful to the original. But they have guest characters like Sonic the Hedgehog. There is, like, Beat from Jet Set Radio. Like, a lot of Sega classics you would expect. And then there's Kiryu from Yakuza, partially because the director of Yakuza slash creator of the series is also the director slash creator of Monkey Ball. So there's a little bit of, like, a crossover there. Now, here's something interesting. The creator of Yakuza said that he doesn't want Kiryu in any crossover fighting games like Smash Bros. Because he doesn't want Kiryu to hit a woman. Okay. But one of the guest characters in Monkey Ball Banana Mania is Hello Kitty. Which means he is okay with Kiryu being able to punch Hello Kitty in Monkey Fight. And yes, Monkey Fight is included in the game.
Well, Kiryu is also a well-known anti-capitalist, and Hello Kitty is kind of a big conglomerate in and of herself.
Yeah, Kiryu stands up for small businesses, if there's one thing I know about him. Actually, he runs several small businesses. Actually, wait, no, he is just a capitalist. Have you not seen the minigames? the whole avenue, like, the whole business venture incremental minigame?
The only one of those that I know of, the only one of those that comes to mind immediately is like the host club mini games where you don't play as Kiri, you play as one of the other characters in Yakuza 4.
No, there's literally a mini game in each Yakuza game, including Like a Dragon, where you are like a landlord.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stroke chin.
Well, Henry George was right.
Kiryu is also going to punch a female monkey, too.
True, yeah. So, we can't forget about Mimi. Sorry, everyone also forgets about Mimi. It's unfortunate.
I also want to point out that, like, other characters include Sega consoles.
Wait, really?
You can play.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah, Dreamcast. As let's
Dreamcast.
They need, like, Sega. Akira from Virtua Fighter, and then they need Billy Hatcher, and then I'll be set.
Yeah, Sega has this repertoire of classic characters that everybody loves and everybody wants a game of, but they don't want to make a new game of, that they always trot out every time they make some kind of crossover or, like, you know, games from Sega history games. And, like, at what point do you just make a new Jet Set Radio? Beat's been in more non-Jet Set Radio games than Jet Set Radio games exist.
I mean, you're talking to, like, one of the 50 people that like Billy Hatcher.
I mean, that is true. Like Billy Hatcher got... Didn't Billy Hatcher only get one game?
One game, but he was in both racing games, from what I remember. He was in Sonic Riders, Sega Superstars, the iToy game. Sega Superstars Tennis, I think, had Billy Hatcher. It's like Sega had this period where they wanted to be like Nintendo with Smash Bros, where they wanted to, like, use their all-star cast of characters, but they never really expanded on the characters or origins. They were just like, remember Samba de Amigo? Here's Samba de, you can play as Samba de Amigo. Isn't that fun?
It's like, and yes.
I think the characters that are most well known from Sonic and Sega Racing are the guest characters like Wreck-It Ralph or the Team Fortress team or Danica Patrick.
Yeah.
So any NASCAR driver is a Ryu number of three, by the way.
Wait, wouldn't it be two? Because
Danica Patrick to Sonic, Sonic to Ryu.
Yeah.
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 That's three.
Wait, if a Ryu number of one is just Ryu, then
I think it's based off number of links, but yeah, I don't know.
Either way, I certainly understand that video game development is a difficult thing and a costly thing. Sega seemingly doesn't understand that because Sonic Team keeps putting out terrible video games. But, like, at what point do you just, you know, Space Channel 5 got a little VR experience. At what point do you just be like, hey, here's, you know, a B release budget, make, you know, a little new Space Channel 5 adventure?
Honestly,
like, I want more B-grade game experiences because they're more willing to take risks and, like, do something weird that isn't, you know, big AAA, like, really safe, you know, big budget sandbox with 500,000 different things to do that give you 0.01% extra damage if you do a specific, you know, quarter circle back fucking jump slash.
I want move. To pay more for smaller games made by less overworked devs who are paid more. Or yeah. Whatever the thing is.
Yeah, I want, you know, I want to pay more for devs to work less for smaller, shorter games with worse graphics, and I'm not joking.
Yeah. Also, I kind of want them to just make another 3D platformer like Billy Hatcher just to spite Yuji Naka. But I feel like Yuji Naka is already spiting himself enough at this point. Anyways,
that's it for the news for right now. Wanna get into the topic? We don't have really a fun segue.
Yeah, let's just swoosh right in. Swoosh.
Swoosh.
I realize that we still haven't actually done an episode on YouTube poop, and we repeatedly keep bringing up things that are like really close to YouTube poop. Like we're circling the YouTube poop drain here. Because so we're talking about a mashup album, but it is created by somebody who is probably most known for YouTube poops. So the album we're talking about today is Sweeus, Sweeews, created by Ellie Spectacular, who you might also know as Da Things. It was her first mashup album, But like I said before, she had plenty of experience with YouTube poop and thus has a good eye for editing and comedy. And the title itself is a reference to a poopism from the YouTube poop Skooks 3. I believe it was 3 that had Swoos.
Yeah.
The same one with the malt shop and the caveman. It's probably the most popular Skooks episode, which wasn't actually by the things, but it's just a fun poopism. I do also think it might be a mirroring of the word sweet or sweets for a reason that will become apparent as we listen to the album. There's sort of one thing I want to bring up from the start, which is that while most mashup albums, at least especially the Mouth albums, which we covered before, a lot of mashup albums will rely mainly or solely on pop culture and use the familiarity and humor. I think something really interesting about this is that Ellie Spectacular isn't afraid to use samples that are less well-known, which gives it a more personal feeling. Like, they're not as much songs made for the listener, but more made for herself. But, that'll be apparent as we kind of go on, I guess, as well.
Yeah.
Also,
starting at the top?
I had one more thing, which is that, shoutouts to Ellie Spectacular, because the reason I finally went through with making my album was because I had asked her on Twitter where she got her stems from, and she sent me a link to a website that had good stems for mashups. And so, thanks, Ellie Spectacular, for giving me the resources there.
Oh, sweet. You're making an album?
Linking me the shouts out. Oh, sorry. Was that supposed to be a secret? Ah, damn. Yeah. I'm working with that one guy, Photon Punch.
Oh, sweet. You're working with Photon Punch on a new album?
Yeah, I messaged them on Twitter, and they said they would help me out with a few things.
Oh, man. Multi-platinum award theorizing artist Photon Punch. That's super cool.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we can't... we might have to just introduce a new segment called the Photon Punch Hour if I keep talking about this. But, you know, let's get back to Ellie Spectacular, a wonderful artist in her own right. Nothing on Photon Punch, of course.
Yeah, so first song is Nowhere Else to Run, which I don't know what the song is, but it's like backwards. It reminds me a bit of Goodbye from Mouth Silence. Like, a very, very chopped version of a song to act as just sort of a fade-in transition.
Yeah, it sounds reversed, but at the same time, I swear that it also, like, it is reversed, but it's like each individual word is reversed in the melody. So, like, if the melody is, you know, A, B, C, it keeps it as A, B, C, but it reverses the A, B, and C.
Yeah. I want to say the song is a Phoenix song, like maybe Lasso, which would make sense with the title, but I'm not sure. It just sounds like that singer.
Yeah, it's a wonderful little melodic opening. It goes directly into the next song, Revolution in the USA, but it's also, you know, it's like a 30-second opening, so it's well done, but like there's not a whole lot to specifically say about it.
Yeah. Second song, I guess, then, Revolution in the USA, is an example of one of those where, like, I've never heard of one of the artists who sampled in this, but yeah, I think that's kind of interesting. Yeah, Left at London.
Yeah, it's Party in the USA with Revolution... Is it called Revolution Mama?
I didn't check, honestly.
That's fair. Yeah, it is Party in the USA as the audio... As the music with the lyrics to the Revolution song from Left at London. Is there another one? I think it's just those two.
I don't remember. I know there's a lot of songs where they'll have like a main focus, but then like another sample will join in halfway through.
Yeah.
But I don't know if this one is one of those.
But it, like, for not having listened to the second song, the lyric song, really good song.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a great album to, like, you know, eventually go and look up the actual artists of, especially the ones you don't know, just because the mixing is very good, but the like, lyrics themselves are honestly just really nice.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's also a good kind of, I don't want to say mission statement, but like I like progressive things in my media. And I think it's a good, you know, a good statement of intent.
Yeah. I also think it just as a first song, it works really well. It's just very, like, upbeat, you know?
Yeah. Then From Revolution in the USA goes into First Time Without Sugar, which is the first of the Sugar quadrilogy.
Yes, this is sort of a running through line in the album.
It is Sugar We're Going Down by Fall Out Boy with First Time. It sounds like a house or EDM song.
Is it like one of the ones Gerard Way did with Deadmau5?
I wouldn't be surprised, but I do not, I cannot place it.
We should have looked it up. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one is definitely interesting, I think.
Yeah.
I think what's interesting about it is that Sugar We're Going Down is obviously like a rock song that has this like, you know, rock guitar in the back. But the lyrics sound really different with the more like synth-based house music. I don't know what it is about it, but just like, you know, assuming there's also like some speed changes to the song, it just has a different feel to it, more like airy, lofty. I don't know how to put it.
It translates into a more, it house music in general is very like atmospheric by necessity. It's meant to be played in a big, you know, concert hall to a big crowd. And so like, it translates extremely well into sort of a song that feels like it's about more than it's about, which Fall Out Boy does a lot with their music, but like some of their earlier songs are a lot more straightforward. And so it makes it feel like it's a more, you know, metaphorical song than the slightly more direct the original is.
Yeah. I don't have much else to say on it. I think it's just
I think it is a good song, and I also think it is the weakest of the Sugar quadrilogy.
I will agree with that.
Yeah. Mostly because the rest of the Sugar quadrilogy has this one is sort of like just, you know, a two sample kind of song. The music of one song, the lyrics of another, or maybe one or two. Whereas the other ones play around with it a lot more. But that does not mean this is a bad song by any stretch. That just means that it's all uphill from the first songs in the album.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So next song in the album is Crank Rider. Is
well,
it?
Hold
no,
on.
There's a... Yeah, I forgot.
Yeah. There are little interludes where it's both basically like under 30 second jokes. So the first one of those is "We're Shaking a dot 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 question mark," and all it is the intro to "Shake It Up, Baby,"
Twist and Shout.
Twist and Shout. And immediately after, the guy goes, "Shake it up, baby, now shake it up, baby." It splices in Cooking Mama from her Babysitting Mama game going, "No, no, no, please don't shake the baby."
That's what that's from?
I am certain that's what that's from.
Nice.
I did not look this up, but I know for a fact.
Nice.
Because that's how Mama sounds, damn it.
I thought it was from like a kid show. That makes honestly more sense. Yeah.
Then we get into Crank Rider.
Yes. So Crank Rider is Soulja Boy, tell him, and Lowrider. I really want to commend this because it is, coming from experience, it's very hard to make something mash up with Lowrider because all the people playing instruments are sometimes just a tiny bit offbeat, which works for the original song, but if you're trying to match it with some other instruments, it gets a little tricky. But this works out really well. It has a very playful attitude compared to Soulja Boy, which is, or I guess Cranked At by Soulja Boy, which is like this very grandiose kind of fronting sort of sound.
Yeah.
Also, the Wii Shop channel comes in about halfway through, and that's just golden. Gotta love the Wii Shop channel. Again, it goes really well with like the horns that are already in Lowrider.
Yeah, this one I love because the like joke stings are much more in the musical department. Like Soulja Boy plays straight up as Soulja Boy, but it works in a lot of little joke musical stings in addition to the original Lowrider. And so it's just it's a really good song. Also worth noting, so one of DaThingsOne's most popular poops is a full version of Sauce Boy, which is Soulja Boy, but YouTube pooped into a different song entirely.
Yeah, it's a YouTube poop of Cranked At with the vocals all chopped.
And Ellie Spectacular did translate that into Sauce Rider, which is a bonus track, which just recreates Crank Rider as Sauce Boy. And if Ellie Spectacular ever actually listens to this episode, I just want to say thank you very much, because I have listened to Sauce Rider so much that I sing the normal Soulja Boy song as Sauce Boy.
I know, yeah. There's like, a lot of things. I love, I just want to say my favorite joke in that is the nope part. In Crank That, it's like, nope, you can't do that like me. Nope, so don't something do like me. Nope, something like me. Man, that man was ugly. But in Sauce Boy, it's like, nope, Chuck Testa, nope.avi, nope, just me, Gabe Newell. Man, that man was ugly. So Half-Life 3 is, of course, getting delayed by another month for saying that. But yeah, it's great. It's YouTube poop in its purest form. I almost said something much less positive about it.
It's a very pure poop.
Mm-hmm.
Crank Rider goes into Boulevard of Frozen Dreams. Let It Go X Boulevard of Broken Dreams X one more song that I don't know.
Yeah, I don't remember. I kind of honestly tuned out of this the last time I listened to the album.
Yeah, I think this one's one of my lesser songs personally. It's well done. It's just sort of to me personally.
Yeah.
Boulevard of Broken Dreams is the only one that I especially like especially listen to on my own time. I do think Let It Go is a great song, but I don't like seek it out all too much. And the other lyrics that are brought in, I don't remember. I don't know what it's from. And, you know, it's all right. It's a shrug for me.
Yeah. I think there's not much to say about it beyond, like, the... Like, Boulevard of Broken Dreams already has that sort of, like, crescendo. I need to look up the actual term for, like, when the music gets more involved as it goes on. It's not a crescendo, it's some other thing. But, like, Boulevard of Broken Dreams already kind of has that, especially getting into, like, the last verse in the bridge. And so it kind of matches the structure of Let It Go pretty well.
Yeah.
I think what follows is something that is very similar to Boulevard of Broken Dreams, though. It uses, obviously, like, Disney music instruments, but it doesn't feel, I don't know, it's super different. I think there is some interesting, tension between Green Day and Frozen that works well for the title. But it's one of those where, like, I hear the start of it, I hear a few bars and I get the joke, and the song that gets added in isn't enough for me to really stay interested.
Yeah.
But it's still a pretty good song. But not as good as Second Time with Sugar. Am I forgetting one?
Yes, Shout of the Draconicus.
Oh, right. This one's okay.
Yeah, this one, it's Shout of the Devil X Discord. Discord from the Living Tombstone, who was a popular brony artist before becoming a popular artist.
Popular FNAF artist.
Honestly, this one, like, I enjoy this one quite a bit. I skip Boulevard of Frozen Dreams quite a bit. I do not skip Shout of the Draconicus. But I will say that I think the biggest contribution it has is just reminding me, oh yeah, Discord was a song.
Mm-hmm.
A fucking bops, too. The Living Tombstone's a great artist. I don't know what to say.
Yeah. Definitely one of those artists that is, like, kind of, I don't know if I'd say unfortunately a fandom artist, but they're very good, and they also make fandom music.
Yeah.
But this song in particular, I do think it's kind of playful, kind of silly almost. It kind of reminds me of, like, I don't know, kind of reminds me of just, like, a kid's song, I guess? I don't know how to put it. But, like, forgetting the devil part, the mix of just, like, the Discord, like, electronic music, and then just the word shout, it really makes you want to shout along.
Yeah. Shadow of the Devil is a wonderful, like, dad rock album, and putting it to more techno backing really does, like, make it sound really fucking good.
Yeah. Kind of reminds me of Beastie Boys, almost.
Ooh, yeah.
In the way it kind of turns out. Or maybe Lonely Island? I don't know.
Yeah, Shadow of the Draconicus. Pretty good. I'm probably pronouncing Draconicus incorrectly, but I bounced out of My Little Pony after, like, season 3, I think. Anyway, second time with Sugar. The second of the Sugar quadrilogy.
Yeah, I think this is my favorite. It's very good.
Yeah, it is certainly, it is not my favorite, but it is definitely, like, a step up. It is very...
Yeah, so... It opens with Lord, I Lift Your Name on High. Something I think is interesting is in some of her videos on her second YouTube channel, Elementary, she's talked about her like upbringing in a very Christian household. And I think she brings in a lot of that influence in a very ironic way in some of her works. I mean, she's done like videos on YouTube over like really cringy Christian media.
Yeah.
And I think this works because, like, it's kind of awkward at first. Like, is this just a gospel song? But then it just goes into the, it's like from the grave to the sky. I'm hot, sticky, sweet, from my head to my feet, yeah. Also, it has the guitar sting from BYOB, which I fucking love. But no, yeah, It's a really interesting start to a really good song.
She also, I think, as a bonus track, has a like an ungodly version, which has the fun song Some Nights instead of the Christian song.
Oh, I thought you were just applying an adjective to a song. I forgot fun was an artist for a second.
Yes, all lowercase, a period after the word fun, the artist. Here's the unfortunate thing. As somebody who grew up in a Christian household and went to Christian schooling, a lot of Christian music does kind of bop. Lord of the Dance is, like, unironically a really fucking good song. And so, like, yeah, recontextualizing it or sort of appropriating it as the intro to a silly song, but also a bop in and of its own right, I think it works really well.
Yeah.
Like, it is a funny opening, especially with the comedy sting at the very end of the Christian part. But, like, it also just does a good job to sort of crescendo it into the song.
Okay, I gotta ask, though. So, for one thing, the vocals of Lord, I Lift Your Name on High sound artificially isolated. I'm not sure if that's the case, but it just kind of sounds that way to me. After having listened to samples that are artificially isolated in my own music. The other thing, though, is the instruments in that part from another song? Because it reminds me of, like, an REO Speedwagon song.
Yeah, that's a great question, and I don't know. Because I was trying to figure that out myself, listening to it again
It reminds me of the start of Here I Go Again on My Own. Or something. I don't know. Maybe it's just the way that, like, string synth sounds.
Yeah.
Or those bells, whatever it is. Yeah.
Bells. Doom. Doom.
Wrong album. Yeah. The rest of the song is this, like, very YouTube poop-esque, like, sentence mixing heavy song that it jumps between The Joker. Is that the name of the song?
Yeah.
Beverly Hills. And, of course, Pour Some Sugar on Me.
This makes it, I think, like, the third or fourth song that has Beverly Hills as a sample that I've heard in quite, like, just sort of one after another. Because there's the Beverly Hills sample in the last song of Mouth Dreams. There's Trash in Galactic Hole's Lucid. There's, I don't remember the name of it from Untitled Paint Project.
Oh, Pluff It Off.
Yeah, from Pluff a Duff. I don't remember the name of the song that uses Beverly Hills, but then Second Time with Sugar uses it. And, like, Galactic Holes and LA Spectaculars both do really funny sentence mixing with it in their own ways.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, there's just four distinct versions of Beverly Hills bouncing around in my head at any one time.
Beverly Hills is a surprisingly good sample. I also have no idea what the drums in this are from. I want to say they're Beverly Hills drums, but I legitimately cannot tell. And I think that's part of the joke.
Yeah.
That, like, the Joker, Beverly Hills, and Pour Some Sugar have very similar drums. But yeah, the sentence mixing is great. I specifically love the sentence mixing in the Joker part, Thor.
Though, yeah.
Some call me the Space Boy.
Some people call me Mom.
Because I'm right here at home. Which is a great joke.
I also, this does introduce my favorite style of jokes on this album is when it, like, recontextualizes one song to, like, to directly answer to another. So I don't remember what the line is in Joker, but it goes directly into the I know what it
that's
means.
It is We Here I Go Again on My Own at the start of the song.
Yeah,
because that's what that vocal's from. And
yeah, because yeah, that's a sample used later in the song. Maybe that's what the drums are from too.
I don't know. All their drum lines sound the same. Yeah.
Second Time with Sugar, excellent song. Turn Off the Stress, also a very fun song. Also quite like it.
Yeah. This one, I couldn't really tell that it was mashed up. I don't know what either source song is, so maybe that's why.
Yeah.
But they do work well enough together that it kind of fooled me for a second.
Yeah. This one, it is very fun. It is not as, you know, it is not as sentence mixy as the previous one. But no, yeah, I do not know which song is which, but at the same time, it blends so well together. I will also say that the line of I don't want to work today, maybe I just want to stay, always every time it plays, I think of the Star Kids music, the Star Kids bit of like, I don't really want to do the work today. I don't really want to do the work today. I don't really want to do the work today. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't have a whole lot to say of Turn Off the Stress, mostly because unsure what the sources are.
Yeah. Is the next song Croc?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So before we get into it, I want to mention that this is another thing that LA Spectacular does a lot, is just shorten words to make the title for something. The one example I can think of off the top of my head is the YouTube poop Scrim, which is a Skyrim YouTube poop.
Yeah.
In this case, Croc refers to Crocodile Rock, but it also is kind of like the CK is from Black in The Black Parade, because those are the two songs that make up this.
Yeah.
The laws from Crocodile Rock line up really well with the like guitar intro from Black Parade. The do that thing. Something super interesting about this, though, is that the song structure of Crocodile Rock and Black Parade are not followed exactly. What yeah. I mean is that, like, part of the part of the chorus plays over the first verse of Black Parade. In, like, it's kind of offset in a weird way. Like, she didn't follow Black Parade structure when adding the vocals, which ends up making it a very unique Black Parade mashup, because, like, the instrumentals don't fit with the same song structure as before.
Yeah, I Black Parade is a very difficult song to, like, mash up one-to-one because it has a really unique structure, and so sort of, like, abandoning the attempt to do that in favor of, like, you know, remixing the structure with Crocodile Rock is, like, I don't want to say necessarily clever, not to say that LA Spectacular is not a clever person, but just, like, it feels like it was done out of necessity, but at the same time, the way it was pulled off was extremely well done. Crocodile Rock is definitely up there in one of my favorite songs. I can sing it all by heart, thank you, Lego Rock Band. And so the fact that it has sort of seemingly been breathed new life by various mashups, a la, you know, Crocodile Chop and you know, other mashups like that, it warms my heart.
Yes, it's I think in this case it might be like born out of restrictions, but in that way that restrictions breed creativity. It's sort of a incidentally it works really well and stands apart from other Black Parade mashups. Cough like mine. Cough. Okay, moving on.
Oh man, you got a Black Parade mashup, just like Photon Punch. Hi, this is Galen in Sooth. I will commit to this bit, and I will never let it die.
Oh, man, I'm going to have to lead a double life forever. I'm like, it's like a bad episode of a kid show.
Yo, Matthew Tweck, he was just 14 when his parents built a mashup machine.
That's just a computer.
Another short one, Around, comes next. I don't know the song source. It's probably more of a popular song. I do know the lyrics, or the joke source, which is the over and under and through from Sesame Street.
Over and under and through.
Around. Around. I can't do Grover's voice.
But then it does end with, yeah, but then again, no. Which... again, I like the various jokes where it like recontextualizes things as a call and response. That'll be relevant in, I think, my favorite song in the album, which is the third song from the third song from the last. But we'll get to that when we get to that.
Third song from the sun.
Because next we have one of the best songs.
Yes. Is it Moonlight Sonata featuring Pitbull?
Yes, it is Moonlight featuring Pitbull.
This is so good. It reminds me of, like, Shady Interlude from Mouth Moods, where it's, like, a very quiet instrumental added to, like, essentially some rap lyrics, but in this case it's Pitbull hyping himself up.
Yeah.
It's the intro to Tonight by, what was it? Was it Jason Derulo? Where it's, like... take a picture with that with a Kodak. Better yet, take a picture of me in Times Square with a Kodak. But it's just, like, turned into Pitbull just rambling about, like, taking pictures and about Donkey Kong and about going, dun-da-dun, dun-da-dun.
Yeah, it gets into some of his breakdowns. Like, now, pump 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 pump.
Yeah, it,
my name's not Neo. My name's not Kodak. My name's not Pitbull.
My name's not Donkey Kong. Yeah. It's it's very,
all to know that.
It has very clever sentence mixing. Another one that's more YouTube poop than straight, like, I don't know, melodic mashup.
Yeah.
Played completely for comedy. It has this really fun just monologue style, but yeah, with just ridiculous sentence mixing.
So good.
I always love the intro to that song. Just, like, it always feels so out of place when he's talking about taking a picture with a Kodak.
Yeah.
So I was like, how much are you getting paid for this, Pitbull?
He was, and then Kodak went out of business.
Yeah. Joke's on them. Pitbull, does Pitbull still have a career? He probably still does things.
I can't imagine he doesn't. I mean, clearly he's friends with Beethoven.
Yeah. How much did Holiday Inn pay him?
Next up is, I think, my favorite of the, like, just lyrics from one song, music from another mashups, which is Heart of Hell.
Yeah. Heart really of Glass by Blondie, Gives You Hell by All American Rejects.
Sorry. Okay, hang on. I meant to say that the next song was my favorite. Heart of Hell is also still really good.
Oh, yeah.
I mixed up Rock and Robot Apocalypse and Heart and Hell in my head. Yeah, Heart of Hell, also very good.
Yeah. Heart of Glass is one of my favorite songs of all time. It's it just works really well here. I think there's something that sounds kind of off about the lyrics to Gives You Hell, but I think it works well in Heart of Glass, because, like, the vocals in Heart of Glass already have a weird sort of distortion. It just kind of works out.
I also appreciated at the very beginning of the song, I swear that it has the deet, 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 deet from, it's not Dire Dire Docks, it's some Mario 64 level. Deet, 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 bonum, 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 you know.
Hazy Maze Cave?
Yes, yeah. Like, I swear that at the very beginning, when it has the intro from Gives You Hell, it has that opening. Like, it just has the you know, cowbell.
Yeah.
Sound. But it's... I'm on to you, Ellie.
unless
this whole thing.
Unless it's not there, and then in which case you're on to something, all right. So yeah, next one is Rockin' Robot Apocalypse.
Easily my favorite of the like most direct mashups. It's just I Love Rock and Roll with Robot Apocalypse. I don't know if that's the full name of the song.
Yeah,
I don't actually know what the musical aspect of the mashup is, but it just works really well. It makes I Love Rock and Roll sound like a like dark sci-fi club anthem. It's so good.
It's a cyberpunk song, but like cyberpunk 2077 song.
Yeah.
We like to watch. We like rock and roll. I don't have anything to say on it. It's another one I don't have notes for.
That's fair. Circle of Beauty.
Yeah. So this is just straight up from a YouTube poop that the thing's made. Honestly, I still think it's one of her best YouTube poops, Prawn Stars.
Yeah.
A YouTube poop of Prawn Stars, of course.
Of Prawn Stars, the yeah. song, the show.
Yes.
It's and about a bunch of prawn in the ocean.
Sounds like a Rick and Morty bit. On this episode of Prawn Stars. And it's just Justin Roiland riffing for an hour on Prawn Stars. I mean, Pawn Stars.
Well, I have this piece of algae. I think I can give you three pieces of algae for it.
My grandfather gave me this seashell here. All right, I'm taking a big risk on this one. I'll give you 400 sand dollars. What? No, give me 450 sand dollars. You know what? Fuck you. And then like burps in between all of those.
Yeah.
Classic Roiland style. And then like they turn around from the TV and Jerry's walking in without any pants on. You know, Rick and Morty things.
You know how it is. Justin Roiland. Oh wait, no, hang on. I think we have to excise this whole bit. I'm fairly certain that's actually just an episode in season 4.
Oh, shit.
So Justin Roiland can probably sue us.
Oh, shit. But no, yeah, Circle of Beauty is fun. It is it's more of a YTP MV in that it uses samples from Pawn Stars. I have to make sure I say Pawn Stars as the instruments. And then, like, other audio samples from Pawn Stars. I don't think it has any, like, original instruments or things from a song.
Yeah. Honestly, that's why it's probably my favorite YTP MV, is just because it's a fully original song with sources from the material. And obviously also, you know, a lot of references to Prawn Stars, with the jokes being kind of directly lifted, but, like, they're really good jokes.
Mm-hmm. I still quote that YouTube poop.
Yeah. I still quote Circle Beauty.
Going out of the pawn shop today to sell my pawn shop today. Yeah.
And my son Hoss. Big Hoss.
Big Sauce. After that is Third Time with Artificial Sweetener.
Very upbeat. Very, yeah. Very fun.
It's Sugar by Maroon 5 with What's Going On by Four Non Blondes. It's funny that we had a Blondie song previously and then Four Non Blondes.
you may know What's Going On as a Hey Yay Yay Yay.
Yeah, I said hey, which what a wonderful kind of day. Yeah, it makes What's Going On a lot more upbeat than its original form.
Yeah, the original song is like pining for a better future, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And like it is like, you know, a contemporary sort of alt question mark. It's like acoustic guitar alt, the original song. But like it does have a sense of dourness to it. Whereas Third Time with Artificial Sweetener, like Sugar by Maroon 5 is a very upbeat song. And so like, I don't know, it captures that Revolution in the USA feeling of like, yeah, it's a song about, you know, pining for a better place and, you know, having to do social change, but like it's a very upbeat song. It feels very fun, and so it, you know, it ultimately feels a lot more upbeat.
Yeah, put it better than I could have.
Dab.
Next song,
High Predator.
Yes,
Hi by Sir Sly and Apex Predator from the, I think it's Mean Girls. Or
yeah,
Heathers?
I looked this one up. It's Mean Girls the musical.
Yeah. Okay.
This is just a fun one to listen to.
It is. High by Sir Sly is one of my favorite songs, and Mean Girls is a good musical. And so, like, it's just a really fun song.
Yeah. It's just, it's fast-paced, it's edgy, I guess. I don't know how to put it. It just has this sort of, this, like, aggression to it that's kind of fun.
Yeah, it's really crunchy.
Mm-hmm.
Hold On to Meatloaf.
Oh yeah,
it's another interlude. This one I always kind of skip. It's
mm-hmm. Not much to say on it.
Yeah. Don't thank me, ma'am.
Oh, yeah. This one's funny.
I don't know the source piano. It's Don't Stop Me Now. And I assume it's like, thank you, ma'am, or something. I don't know the name of a lot of piano things.
I feel kind of bad for not looking up every source in this album. I feel like I didn't do my, due diligence. I guess we're just
uncultured. We didn't have a fact corner in this episode, and so we couldn't actually look up any facts.
Mm-hmm.
Also, that's a lie. I can actually name quite a few piano things. I like piano music. But I especially like, you know, ragtimey sort of bouncy music. And so I think, like, I really like Don't Thank Me, Ma'am, because Don't Stop Me Now, fucking excellent song.
Mm-hmm.
And putting a bouncy little piano under it, like, it makes the song a lot smaller. You know, Don't Stop Me Now is a really, really big song. It has a lot of energy. And so, like, it turns it into this, like, bouncy little jaunt.
Yeah. It's a little jaunt. It's, like, something you would hear at, like, an old-timey boardwalk.
Yeah.
It has this kind of casualness to it.
It's so good.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get to the third from the last song, which is my favorite.
I don't remember what this one was.
Fourth Time Tops.
Oh, right, yeah. This one's very good.
Yeah, the last of the Sugar Quadrilogy. Specifically what I love. So it's All About That Bass by Meghan Trainor.
Mm-hmm.
It's the one song from the people who did Wonderwall.
Champagne Supernova by Oasis.
That's the one.
Come on, get with the times.
Yeah, no, get with 1990s.
Yeah.
Take On Me by Aha, and there's one other song in there that I don't remember.
One that goes like Sugar Pie Honey Buns.
Yeah,
which I only know from Honey Buns commercials.
There's two others because there's one and there's another that's the like I won't cry.
I don't remember
specifically. What I love of this song is the main vocals are Champagne Supernova, but it uses Champagne Supernova to call and response a lot of the other ones, and like it melts very well. And so, like, you know, as a brief example, it's like, you know, where were you when we were getting high, and like then it pops in with Take On Me, where it's like talking away, as if, you know, the question is answered by Aha.
Mm-hmm.
Or you know, when there's a moment where he says, like, I don't remember the line, but it's about crying, and then it comes in with the I won't cry. My favorite of those, it feels poignant even though it's probably not, but it's the, like, where were you when we were getting high, and then it's Aha doing the going slowly learning that life is okay, and then it actually goes into the chorus of Take On Me at the same time that it does the bridge of Champagne Supernova. It's so good.
Yeah.
Sorry that I'm geeking out so much. It's just,
there's also that they're gonna get away for the summer, and then it's the I can't help myself.
Yeah
it's very clever in the way it interpolates samples there in that style. I think also it just, all the samples are really well implemented into the song itself. Like, besides lyrically, just rhythmically, they all work really well. They're all timed well, matched well to the BPM. I think one of the hardest things to do when making a mashup is matching things together with the right BPM.
Yes.
And
God,
I don't really think there are any songs on this album that have problems with that, which is impressive in things like this, where there's a lot of disparate BPMs from original samples being mixed together.
Yeah. All About That Bass also just, like, is one of the better bass lines. I won't say one of the best, but,
I mean,
like,
it's all about
perfect,
it.
It is all about it, but it is just a perfect underlying for the rest of it. It gives it a little bit of weight that, you know, that, like, really helps the vocals, all of them.
Yeah, it's the melody isn't super enforced in this song. It's not super present. While as the bass and the percussion is, the percussion is kind of light as well, because it's still from All About That Bass. But yeah. I think that highlights the vocals more, which lets you pay more attention to the sentence mixing.
Yeah.
And the, like, call and response stuff. So yeah, overall, very clever.
Big fan.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the next one, Just Can't Mute Enough.
Yeah.
Which is Mute City plus Just Can't Get Enough. Mute City, I think it's specifically the, like, Smash Bros. Remix of it. It's a very good song by itself. I think in this case, the, like, high speed of it works pretty well with the rest of Just Can't Get Enough, but it really feels like it's made for the intro of the song. Mute City has that really strong intro that kind of prepares you for the rest of the song.
Yeah.
If you think of it in terms of, like, a race, it's, you know, the very start of the race when you're accelerating, and then the rest of the song is when you're at top speed.
Yeah, it's about keeping the momentum.
Yeah, but it really builds up that first part with a, you know, a line that kind of increases in pitch, mostly. Just Can't Get Enough, like, beginning vocally is very quiet, and so it kind of adds to the build-up at the start. I don't think the lyrics are super-duper well integrated. I mean, they're well integrated enough that it doesn't sound bad, but I think this is one of the ones where it's like it just doesn't quite have the same strength as a lot of the other songs, to me at least.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it is a good song, but like I think it's sort of like a dip before we get to the final song of the album.
I think it works. Oh
yeah. Yeah, no, it does work.
Oh, well,
I will say, sorry, go ahead.
I mean, I think it works as a penultimate song.
Yeah, it is a shame that it isn't just an absolutely terrible song, because then we could do the funny, like, games journalist joke of, just can't mute enough. What a fitting title.
More like, just can't turn it up enough. But I can't even do that either.
What was Ellie Spectacular thinking?
Yeah.
Then we have the final song of the album.
Yes, the Type 2 Beat a Spit. I really want to say something, though. So, obviously, I'm a Type 1 diabetic. I don't get super upset when people make diabetes jokes by itself. I think, like, Wilfred Brimley as a source is very funny to play with. But I think it's very easy to make a ignorant diabetes joke.
Yeah.
What I love about this is that it specifies type 2. So, like, a lot of people don't really consciously think about the differences between type 1 and type 2 diabetes, which means that it kind of gets blended together in pop culture. But I think what I like about this isn't necessarily that it just says type 2, but that the joke is specifically type 2 diabetes, which is what Wilfred Brimley has. And the song, is it Black Eyed Peas? And they're like, the start of the song covers Time of My Life.
Yeah. It's Dirty Bit.
Yeah. The start of it is the lyrics from Time of My Life, but she makes it say, I have the type 2.
Yeah.
And so it wouldn't really work with just saying, I have diabetes or diabetes. But it kind of uses its strengths to make that point.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's specific in what type of diabetes it is, which to me honestly makes it funnier as well.
Yeah. A lot of the joke of the song is from sentence mixing Wilfred Brimley as a source. Wilfred Brimley is just a wonderful source as well.
Mm-hmm.
Really classic source as well. But do you have anything to specifically say about, like, the song itself? Because I want to talk about the ending.
Go ahead.
So, the ending, there's a moment in the original, the original commercial, the original PSA, where Wilfred Brimley is effectively, like, you know, says something to the effect of, like, you know, I didn't want this pain, I just sort of wanted to, you know, not have worries anymore, not care about anything. And, you know, that's not bad. That's not a bad, you know, idea once in a while, but, like, you have to take things seriously. Never seen the original. But, like, it works in the context of a PSA. But Ellie recontextualizes it, which is the word of the day for me, at the very end, to basically plays it 100% straight of, like, all I'm trying to say is let go of your worries, you know, let your troubles be free, just chill out. You know, it's not bad. It's not a bad idea once in a while to just sort of take a break and let yourself, you know, be happy. You are valid and appreciated.
Yeah.
And like, it recontextualizes, you know, the idea in the PSA of like, you know, you should take things seriously, but like, for, you know, a terrible year, a terrible time, a terrible pandemic, it sort of, you know, takes that and goes, no, you know, sometimes it's actually all right to just lay back and you know, just be all right. Just stop worrying about things and just sort of, you know, let your cares wash over you. And it's a really funny recontextualization, but it's also a really, like, good, poignant message to have.
Yeah. It's also, I think this is one of the first things she really released after transitioning, and so I think it has even more power when you consider that.
Yeah.
The whole, like, you are valid, you know?
Yeah.
Very strong message. Thanks, Wilford Brimley.
Thank you, Wilford Brimley. Is Wilford Brimley still alive? I really hope he is.
I hope he is.
Wilford Brimley, years active. Oh, no!
Oh, no.
He died in 2020.
Oh, no.
August. Like, August 1. Wow. Shit.
That's unfortunate. That is unfortunate. I hope it wasn't to diabetes complications.
I'm going to click the Wikipedia article just to figure out. Kidney condition. He had been ill with a kidney condition for 2 months. He died in the hospital.
Probably diabetes related.
Yeah. Man.
So,
I hate to bring the podcast out at the very end there.
I guess, hearts go out to Wilford Brimley.
Yeah.
Don't know what kind of person he was, but he did bring attention to type 2 diabetes.
Which is, yeah, he did good work. Assume he was a good person. I assume he was. And, you know, like, you gave us a funny source. You also gave us a great message at the end of this album. And, man, fucking 2020 and 2021 absolutely sucked shit.
Yeah.
For everyone. It's probably going to continue to suck shit for a little while longer, but like, it is nice to just sort of sit down and go, you know what? I don't really want to do the work today.
Yeah. So I want to do like a closing remark on the album.
Yes.
So like I said before, as you can probably tell by now, there's a lot of samples we didn't recognize, a lot that aren't from like pop culture songs or pop songs. You know, stuff like smaller artists like Left at London or like fandom artists like The Living Tombstone. A lot of things that are kind of unconventional for mashup albums. You know, as far as like the mashup scene goes, you don't see a whole lot of pure Y2P MVs from a lot of mashup artists because it's kind of a different skill. I think what makes this album so good to me is that it is a very big variety, very wide variety of individual song styles and concepts that means that like there's kind of a little something for everybody, I guess. It doesn't really get boring because it keeps switching it up. And even though there are some songs that aren't as quite exciting, maybe it still has a lot of really interesting ideas that, you know, it really much reflects the creator, you know?
Yeah.
There's something I really appreciate, because this is something I did when I made my own album, which is the focus on making the songs you want to make, even if nobody gets them, per se. I could be really, really, like, assuming other people, like, I could be assuming that my knowledge is common knowledge, and therefore the lack in my knowledge is the gaps in common knowledge. Like, maybe a lot of people have heard of those original songs that we didn't. But I think it is worth noting that, like, when you make something like this, which is ostensibly a, like, project for self-expression and fun, I guess, you know, whatever that may be, you don't have to do it with the intent of making it, like, widely recognizable, especially albums that are mashup albums and thus can't really be sold. There's not much of a point in making it to be widely appealing if you can't really make money off it. I mean, like, sure, you might want to get your name out there, and sure, that doesn't mean you need to make it shitty, but like, since it's pretty much entirely a personal thing, you can take some liberties with it, take some ventures, take some, you know, experiment a bit and really just make something that's good for you. And then I think that will be felt outwards.
Yeah, I think that is a really good message to sort of encapsulate it and also to sort of like end off on.
Also, I'm going to be charitable and assume that she wasn't intending on making a sugar diabetes joke.
Yeah, yeah. I assume that the sugar is more directly related to the sweet, because like the way that the albums are packaged are like meal, snacks, and bonus. I don't remember what the bonus is called.
Is it like crumbs or something? I don't know why I said that.
But like, yeah, it feels like that's more directly related to the sweets idea than to the, like, diabetes.
Yeah, because that's not a true thing, and so I'm assuming she knows that.
I would also like to commend us for having an entire episode where we didn't talk about Fortnite.
Oh shit, you just ruined it! Alright, that's it, I'm leaving. I'm going back to this phone booth.
Damn it. Wait, no, but you have to come back. I have to tell you that Naruto's in Fortnite now.
Oh, god damn it, that's right. That means that all the people in Jump Ultimate Stars have a Ryu number of 2.
Which is, on one hand, good, but on the other hand, it's through Fortnite, so, like, is it really good?
It's one less than their previous number of 3, so we're not losing much. It's not a big breaker in the Ryu number meta. We just cut out Lars from Tekken.
Thank you very much for listening.
Yeah. You can follow us on Twitter at NetSurferPro. We tweet out teasers for our upcoming episodes, except I couldn't really come up with a good one for this. Maybe before I upload it, I'll come up with a good one. I'm not super certain. But you can also get updates on, you know, other things we release. You can recommend us things. You can talk about our episodes that way. You can send us messages. You can also like and leave a comment on your podcasting platform of any choice. Follow us on there to get updates on our new episodes directly from your podcast feed. We are on all major podcasting platforms. Let us know how we're doing. Be much appreciated.
Yeah.
You can follow me on Twitter at Matt Craig Gaming, where I tweet about what I'm working on, my takes, my live opinions of things. Not a whole lot of any hot takes, I would suppose. You can follow me on Twitch at twitch.tv/twack. That's twitch.tv/twak. I am streaming on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday at about 1 p.m. Central Time to 3 or 4 p.m. Central Time. I stream roguelites, puzzle games, competitive games. On Fridays, I play Hitman, the World of Assassination trilogy, and viewers can mess with me in different ways. Recently, I've been playing Deathloop, but with the Rivals of Aether rollback beta starting up, I might be streaming Rivals again. We'll have to wait and see. So keep an eye posted on that, twitch.tv/twack. Also, once again, photonpunch.bandcamp.com. Check out my album. It's completely free.
Yeah, it is a really good album, and that is coming from a very biased source. Matt
can't believe he would leave a biased review. Unsubscribed.
For more biased hot takes, you can find me on Twitter and on TikTok at Galen Wilson. That's at GALENWILS0N. I've recently been posting more silly videos. Two of them have done numbers, as the kids say. You can find me on YouTube at The Only Galen on YouTube. I really should upload something there. And I should also stream on Twitch at Machine Gun Vampire at some point. But with that, that's my socials done. And I guess now I need to go into the telephone booth and transform into something.
I'm also slowly realizing that for pretty much the entirety of October, I have no idea what my teaser tweets will be. So, oops.
Ah, shit, yeah. October's gonna be spooky month. Look out for that.
Yes, look out for that, and look out for anything spooky that happens during October. Like, goodbye.